Mrs. M.M. Rumney, Reel 3.
Bread. She has to have water, you know, a few drops of milk, you understand. You can do that. Meaning, and I shall keep my eyes on you. I thought, God knows what for. What have I done? Well, of all the dreadful punishments to be under the eye of the matron. Well, this woman, I always remember, she pestered me and pestered me to give her more food. Well, of course, I mean, I didn't dare. So, well, she got as far as half a tin peach. And she implored me nearly on her knees, 2 peaches. And I gave in. Going up the stairs with the 2 peaches on the plate, I heard the rustle of silk alpaca. What did I do? Swallowed one, quick. And got by. So the matron found that there was nothing the matter with me. And this woman got better, and I got into the ward. But that was a very unpleasant start, because they all looked at me as though I were, when I go in for my meals into my bedroom, I'd be quiet. They did classes and all. Oh, of course I knew. You'd have known, yes. So, however, I got over that. And they accepted me until, of course, the Littleton crowd got rather like me. And it was rather lovely. They had their lady's maid came once a week and donned their stockings and things. It was rather gorgeous. Hermione Littleton, who married the chief of Vickers, you know, the Vickers, beautiful young woman, she said, oh, come round to supper, Rumney, do, or Collis do. Collis went, and in bed, she put them underneath the bed, and with a stove here, she just cracked the eggs that had been sent, you see, and threw everything anywhere. Her maid came once a week. Rather gorgeous, yes. I liked them.
What sort of living accommodations did you have in Colchester?
Well, we had this house, especially for us.
All 20 of you?
Well, about, yes. Roughly, yes. We had a whole house. We had a mile's walk in the morning unless a bus came for us, the ambulance came for us. We walked it mostly over that. I couldn't find my way now to the shop. This, over this plain, you see, and there was a hospital. And we had this sister who was designated to us to see that we had the food and everything, nice food, and the table. And everything was done for us. By the army, this branch of the army was laid on kitchen branch, yes. Good food, yes. Every luxury.
After you proved your worth by swallowing the half a peach, what sort of nursing duties did you have in Colchester?
That's a point. That's an interesting point. The simple reason, a very interesting point. When the army... in France, things got bad suddenly. There would be an order for half a dozen trained sisters, you see. They might be the reserves with not the full red cape, because they hadn't got them enough of them. The reserves would go. And then, generally, I was one of the ones to be placed in that nurse's duty until, but this has only been I'd done about 6 months, until that one came, you see, from somewhere or other, and took over. Now, I found that rather nerve-wracking, very nerve-wracking, because, and then I found inevitably in the end that perhaps if a poor soldier was having in his lungs something cleaned out, well, if there was no hope and he was just going to die anyway, I would be allowed to do that dressing, you see. It occurred to me in a time, fashion of time. But it made that with my Barnstaple, you see, which was, even if I'd only looked to a person of my capacities, you do understand, I passed every exam at the top and then every subject. I mean to say, painting and music and the lot, intermediate associated board, tops. I naturally saw what was going on and got that I had learned quite a bit about nursing. So about 3 of us would be placed. And when the sister of the ward was off duty, then you were on duty. You'd got the ward. Oh, yes. I remember once one night, the same matron came round. She was Scotch. And I was in charge. Really harassed, really. I suppose I really liked it, pleasure classes. It's a responsibility, something to get out of me. And she said, well, sister, she said, how is the ward this evening? Oh, I said, Matron, that all is very quiet. I said, most of them, of course, are Scotch. Oh, so I said, I find the Scotch, which I still find to this day, were the best patients. You could cut an arm off without an anaesthetic, but a Scot would never absolutely flinch. I said, I can't quite understand what they say, because this gentleman here, this patient, says he's a mainer. And I just don't know me, a mainer. That is a minor, sister. Oh, yes. I said, and this one here, matron, is vomiting, and it's like coffee. Oh, yes, sister, that is blood. The stomach, I've always remembered now, I know what blood for the stomach is. Coffee. Grains. Oh, yes. Well, she said, they're all very quiet. She did the round, and that's it. And there I was, you see. But it was harassing. I was quite glad when the sister came back. But I got a reputation. It was based, Mrs. Brooks, on hard work. I worked. I mean, you could be brilliant if you weren't going to work. I worked. Oh, yes, I worked. I liked it.
Did you have more responsibility at Colchester than just cleaning and making beds?
Well, you didn't have any cleaning as a sister in the army. But you did make the beds in the early morning. Yes. You didn't make them because the night staff did that, but you made them, you know, the poor things were put in. But as a regular army, you didn't see anybody. You had so many orderlies that you only did the top nursing. Nothing more. You never did anything here. Never gave a bottle or a bed, but even an emergency. That was a rule. And as for cleaning, no. No, you were a sister.
No baths or bedpans for the men, but what about men with injuries of the lower body? Well, they had to have dressings.
Orderlies. Orderlies.
The orderlies were probably...
They could do the legs. I mean, say, you could do his knee and leg and so forth. But no. No.
What sort of patients were these?
Well, you had all kinds. You would suddenly have a convoy from France, and they would arrive. You'd be wakened up in the night, get dressed, a convoy. And you got the clothes as they were taken off until the orderly take these, you see. And, you know how I mean my clothes, the bed, so. And it would all be in almost dark, you see, because of the wartime things. And you take the temperatures, you see. I could take the temperatures. I could write down and do all those kind of things and give them a medicine and night medicine. Brilliant or what? Or examine, perhaps, as far as taking off the dressings. And that would be quite an excitement. We got many convoys. Well, then we got all the people who, in the local, Colchester is a garrison town. So therefore, anybody ill in the garrison town went to their own garrison hospital, didn't they, you see? So you'd have perhaps carbuncles in the back, one died of it, I remember now. As you went, yes, went to the theatre, and I rather liked this young fellow, and the carbuncles were dreadful. And in the middle of it, I suddenly said, I think this young man could have been saved. Miss Collis of the regular classes. Oh, be quiet, sister. But I still think he could have been saved too. Oh, his sister would be quiet. Well, I wasn't quiet because my conscience. I mean, I was still Miss Collis of the leisure class. I thought this is dreadful. Well, then you'd have perhaps synovitis sneeze when they were trying to get out of being there. Well, I could do the synovitis sneeze. Naturally, I could do the synovitis sneeze. Iodine and a bandage. Toothache, no. Anything to do with the head or accidents. And the residue of those from France. So there you've got quite enough, really. But it got in the end that we had to have extra beds in the passages of huts. And I went into the huts, because we all did. It was a regular big ward. And they were even along the passages. And it was most inconvenient that was. And that was when we were having further convoys, for which he hadn't really the accommodation. The convoys kept coming from France, you see, and some bad ones. And that was, open up these huts at the back of the hospital. And we, at times, had plenty of hard work.
What was the capacity of the hospital?
I wouldn't know, but that could easily be verified. It would be the same today. It's still actually operating today. My brother-in-law, Major Porteous, was there, and I didn't know that, of course, Major Porteous was going to be my brother-in-law. He married my sister. He was at St. Mary's Hospital in Harley Street, and he was with the man who did the penicillin and so forth, quite one of the, quite well-known. And he did, Churchill was one of his patients, etc., etc. He died 3 years ago. We miss him. And that was it, you see. But today it is operating as your garrison hospital. They wouldn't have so many patients, of course, for the garrison or just going round. But not, of course, for any normal, ordinary person. Not the man in the street, no.
Did you have the opportunity, while you were at Colchester or at Barnstaple, to talk to the patients?
In Barnstaple, yes. But you must remember, in those days, the army was the army. You see, orderlies, just like a person who had a home, she had servants, didn't she? You didn't do your own housework. You didn't do anything like that. No, you just knew you didn't do that, see? I suffered in one district of my mind of jealousy by somebody who thought she was socially perhaps a little higher up than I was, that I could tell her what to do. And she was very nasty, say, oh, very nasty. I don't know about this. This is the only trouble I ever had. And I thought, oh, yes. And she would chat up to the boy. We had to straighten the beds first thing in the morning, then she took the thermometers and so on. I didn't like the girl much. And that didn't matter. I realised I was going to have trouble with her. I realised I couldn't report her. I, being a lawyer's daughter, I thought what I could do. I thought, well, that's easy. And so every morning and round, I was very charming to all the men. In fact, I was more than charming. Oh, yes. And after about a month, she couldn't stand it. Various things, she left. Well, she left. I intended she should leave. Because really, she'd come to nurse, not to be stupid. And so you couldn't have any... No, you didn't have any... No. One came in that I'll never forget. He was a something plesia, you know, hemiplegia. Paralysed from here.
From the waist down?
I beg your pardon? Yes. Well, I mean, that's everything, isn't it? Bowels and everything. And very good looking, nice fellow, about 28. He made up his mind that he wasn't going to live. And that's when I learned that you could die if you meant to die. So they didn't believe that you could die if you wanted to die, because that was just stupid in the potteries. He did. He just wouldn't live. I was very sad. Those are the cases I remember. But for the rest, not. Just the ordinary, normal run. But you know, you didn't talk to them, no. Besides which, you were regular army. I had a position.
Were these all other ranks, or were there officers in hospital as well?
Well, no, there were other ranks, all of them. You didn't get officers there. I think they went to a place of their own. As far as you mention it to me now, no, I think they just went to another part of the house. I never had anything to do with them, neither did any of the others. Oh, no. Not at all.
How much did you know about what was going on in the war overseas?
Well, quite a bit, because, you see, we got the convoys.